go right along with our theme for the year. And you don't have to get the book, but if you want to get the book, you want to download it or get the actual book, if you go to onewordstudy.com, onewordstudy.com, or let me know later if you can't remember that. I think the download's $3.99. You put on your phone or device, or I think the book might be $5.99 or $6.99, something like that. And it's basically just 52 words. And there's devotionals that whole week based on that word. And so what I would like to do, and if you want to get the book and go along with it, great. Like the very first word is word. Right, so I do a lesson on that Sunday night, and if you got the book, you can do the five devotionals on it. But, you know, I'm not going to do all 52. I think if you try to do all 52, it'd take about a year and a half because you got breaks in there, fifth Sundays and all that kind of stuff, and might be sick one or two of those Sundays out of the year. But I just wanted to offer that out there to you. If you want to get it, great. If not, no worries. But I do. I am going to do some lessons on some of the words that are in this book, One Word. Satchel Paige, great baseball player, well known. Probably if you're my age or older, you might remember that name, Satchel Paige. Not only was he a good baseball player, he had some of the best quotes. I love Satchel Paige quotes. He's attributed to saying such things as, "Don't pray when it rains if you don't pray when the sun shines." And how old would you be if you didn't know how old you are? And he also said this concerning looking back. He said, "Don't look back. Something might be gaining on you." And I really like that in reference to what we're going to be talking about this evening here. And, you know, when we talk about Christianity, many times we talk about how we are running a race of endurance, right? And the writer of Hebrews alludes to that in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Let us run with this with endurance this race set before us, right? And so, you know, we need to be like the athlete. We need to be like the runner. And in your mind, at least, I know Christianity is more compared to a marathon, but just for a moment, I want you to think about someone that runs sprints, right? A sprinter. And I want you to think about why you never see a sprinter looking back during the race. Because it does several things, right? That sprinter is going to be slowed down. He's going to break his stride, and it's going to encourage the adversary. All right, so I want you to think in those terms here before we read a little bit in our Bibles. You know, I want you to think about your race as a Christian and what that does to you if you're constantly looking back. There's consequences for looking back. In our scripture reading earlier here, we read verses 12 through 13. And, you know, if you want to be successful, don't look back, but rather press forward, reach forward to those things which are ahead. Press toward the mark, or your translations might say the goal or the prize or the upward calling. Right? If you want to be successful, don't look back. Right? Press towards that goal of finishing, because if you look back, you will lose your race. It's absolutely going to happen. If you keep looking back, right? You know, if you're so concerned with what's behind you, in other words, what you've left in your life, right? Press towards your goal of finishing. Don't look back. Here in verse 13 again, what Paul says, I take your mind to that, where he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." So Paul, same line of thinking as the writer in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Talk about this race set before us. Right, and the word "forget" here means literally to no longer be influenced by the things of your past. Right? And if you remember a couple weeks ago, we were in Philippians chapter 3. We're talking about building our spiritual house. And in that house cleansing process, not only, of course, do we need to get rid of all the stuff on the inside that's dirty, but then we need to fill it with good things. And then he goes on to use this metaphor here. We've been given a new year, so, you know, let's use it. God has given us a new year. Let's use this new year and press forward and forget those past failures. Now, we can take those lessons that we've learned for sure so we don't repeat them, but we can't dwell on what's behind us individually as Christians and as a body of believers. So I want us to think about three different people or groups of people who are guilty of looking back in our Bible here. They were guilty of not pressing toward the mark, and see what we can learn there and do some self-examination and be honest and think about if we're guilty of looking back like we shouldn't do, right? And it hurts our race and we're not pressing towards the mark or our goal, the finish line. So first of all, I want us to think about Israel, right? Don't be guilty of reaching back like Israel. Israel was guilty of looking back with a faulty memory. Memories can be very funny things, right? And we know that if we've ever argued with our spouse, right? All right? Memories can be very funny things. And I want you to think about this here. You know, we can actually change our memories based on our current wants and desires. Maybe this will help you understand that statement. Numbers chapter 11 in your Old Testament. Go back to Numbers chapter 11. And I'm going to begin reading here in verse 4. Numbers chapter 11, beginning in verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. Right? You can change those past memories based on current wants and desires. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlics." Now let me stop right there. I'm not saying that that Egypt never fed the children of Israel, but I highly doubt it was this list here they're calling out. You go back to Exodus chapter 1, I think about verse 13, and it said the Egyptians worked them with rigor. In other words, they worked them so hard, it was their goal to kill them with working. And then you throw in they're killing their children, right? In other words, it was a very awful slavery. But based on their intense cravings at the moment, they had faulty memories. Oh, the cucumbers we had in Egypt. You see how that works? Verse 6, "But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." God-given sustenance, or looking down at it. Right? It gave them life. It sustained them. But all we have is this manna. Oh, how good we had it back in slavery. Right, and God gave them that manna. Listen, they didn't have to plow the ground and plant the seed and pull the weeds and take care of that harvest, you know, and bring it in and take all the seeds and crush them and make a flour and bake them to get that bread. No, God gave it to them. All we have before us is this manna. See how faulty memories can be very destructive? Now remember what their goal was, what their mark was, what God had promised, land of milk and honey. If they remained faithful, God would give them the promised land after being freed from slavery, but they took their eyes off the goal, off the prize, off the mark. Israel was only remembering the good and not the bad of Egyptian slavery. Right? They only wanted to remember the cucumbers. See, looking back can cause a faulty memory, a selective memory, and a seductive memory. You know, I to a degree, was guilty of doing this for years after getting out of law enforcement. And just a little bit nowadays, I might, just a little bit, I'll see a police car going by, code 3 lights and sirens, and I'm kind of like, oh, I wonder what they're doing. You know, and I want to be a part of that, right? And so I'm better now than I used to be. You know, that thrill, that excitement, being involved in those kind of things, you know, that's the only thing my mind was remembering. And I was blocking out all the long, terrible hours and all the dull hours you know, the paperwork and being called into court on my day off, all the bad stuff. I wasn't remembering that. My mind only wanted to remember the good things, right? And we got to be careful with memories like that. You know, we can't look at our lives pre-Christianity, pre-Christ, and think how great we had it. Man, I had it so good before I became a Christian. I got to do what I wanted to do, and I could go have fun, and I wasn't sitting in a church building after 5 o'clock on a Sunday. You know, I was home watching the ball game, right? And we just have to be careful with that kind of thinking. It's very seductive, and we can get those faulty memories. We glamorize our past, whatever it was. You know, that past that we had when we were outside of Christ, we want to glamorize that based on current wants and desires. You know, and like Israel, we end up murmuring and complaining, right? That's what they go on to do here. You know, and we do the same thing. We don't remember the death sentence we were under. We were under a death sentence outside of Christ. And then with that seductive, selective, faulty memory, we want to think about how good we had it outside of Christ. A couple passages here I want you to think about, and we'll go to our second point. Romans 6 and verse 17, this is what we were without Christ. We read, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, this is what we were without hope. We talked about this morning. "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Same book, chapter 5, verse 8, this is what we were before the light. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." We cannot be guilty like Israel, of looking back at our slavery and thinking there was anything good about it, right? With faulty memories, deceiving ourselves. Selective memories, forgetting how bad it was, and, you know, only remembering the good, the cucumbers of the past life, if you will. But rather, let us press towards the goal, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Let's not be guilty like Israel. Number two, let's not be guilty like Lot's wife. Luke, the 17th chapter, if you would. Turn back in your Bible there. Luke chapter 17, beginning of verse 28. We have a lesson here. Luke chapter 17, beginning of verse 28. "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetops and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back." Remember Lot's wife. Now, contextually here, he's going to use three illustrations of watching and waiting for the return of the Lord for Judgment Day. He's going to use Noah as his first example. Secondly, Jesus uses the example of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, he says men were eating and drinking and having life. And third, he speaks of Lot's wife. Right? And the point here in chapter 17 is don't be like Lot's wife. Why? Well, think about it. Because, you know, Lot's wife wanted to look back to the old ways that they were fleeing from. right? All of her life, all of her belongings, everything, that's what they were leaving. That's what she was leaving behind. You know, not looking forward to the salvation in front of her, the salvation from that destruction behind her. Right? You see, Lot's wife looked back, you know, reaching back with an unhealthy longing. Go back to Genesis, if you would. We have the story here. Genesis 18. Let me begin here. Actually, read verse 20. Genesis 18 and verse 20. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave. Right? We see that there was great sin. It was a great environment of sin. Right? And that's what Lot's wife was looking back to with an unhealthy longing. Right? And you could read of horrendous acts of homosexuality that infested the city and deviant and sinful behavior. Going into chapter 19 and verse 15, here the angels urge Lot and his wife to flee. You know, they needed to escape for their lives. Right? Escape from that destruction that was surely coming. You know, as should we also, but against logic at times, you know, we also look back with an unhealthy longing. Look at verse 16. We read, but he hesitated. Talk about Lot. Or your translation might say he lingered. Right? And the angels had to grab hold of him and seize him. Why? Well, because God had great love and compassion. He wanted to save him. Just like God has great love and compassion for us. He wants to save us. He said, I want to lead you out of that destruction. Don't look back with an unhealthy longing. Right? He's not going to force us to flee that wickedness and that destruction, by the way. And then look at verse 17. We're in Genesis 19. Verse 17, the Lord's messenger said, escape your life. Don't look back. Forget that sinful world that you're escaping from. Drop down to verse 26. But Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. I don't think she wanted to leave it behind. All right, even after being saved, even after being warned, she looked back with an unhealthy want and desire. God warned. Right? She took her eyes off of her goal, her mark, her prize, that freedom, that salvation that was right in front of her. All she had to do is reach forward. You know, and even though she was blessed with many blessings, right, part of the family of Abraham, very wealthy family. You know, Lot was a righteous man. Peter actually writes that in 2 Peter in chapter 2, right? Great wealth, great privileges, all of these things. She knew of God's promises and only had one command, don't look back. You see, when we remember the pleasures of sin, it tempts us back to that life, and we, you know, again, only selectively remember the good stuff. Fooling ourselves with seductive thoughts and memories. So let us not be guilty of looking back like Israel and like Lot's wife, but rather press towards a goal, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Number three this evening, let's not be guilty of looking back like some of Christ's almost disciples. There's some that were really close, but they actually counted the cost and they said, no, I can't do that. Luke, the ninth chapter, if you would. Luke chapter 9. Let's read beginning in verse 57. Those who, you have those that don't count the cost of discipleship. And you have those that count the cost and say, no, I can't do that, right? And in a sense, at least they're being honest. Read just a little bit with me here in Luke chapter 9. Let's read beginning in verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." Another said, "Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Here we see three cases or excuses of not counting the cost, right? And this is all about really counting the cost, understanding the sacrifices, and in that consider how many almost disciples Jesus almost had. In Mark chapter 10, verses 21 and 22, this discussion with the rich young ruler concerning following Jesus, we read, Jesus looking at him, felt compassion for him, had love for him, and said, "The one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But, verse 22, "But at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he had great possessions." He had great wealth. Rich young ruler. Either way you look at that, he wasn't willing to count the cost, or he did count the cost, and he said, "No, that's too much for me." Right? What he was doing, instead of looking forward to the kingdom of heaven that he was promised, he was looking behind at what he was going to be leaving, his great wealth. Right? He didn't look forward to what Jesus had promised, your treasure in heaven. You know, looking forward with faith to that which we haven't seen yet, that's hard. Right? That's very difficult. Looking back to what we have seen, to what we physically have, that's easy. Right? That's why we struggle putting our treasures in heaven. We haven't seen it yet with our eyes. That's very difficult. Consider the parable of the sower and soils here in Mark chapter 4. And beginning in verse 3. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. And we're not going to read all of this here, but just to summarize, of course, we see that some seed fell on rocky soil. You know, it didn't have depth. Immediately it sprung up, no depth of soil, right? Sun goes up, scorches it, kills it, right? Because it had no root, it withered away. And you can make your application on that concerning looking back. You know, because when we look back, I think it's very simple to see here. You know, it keeps us from having proper roots. Looking back prevents us from counting the cost fully. And here's a point here, you know. Let's make sure that we do not look back at our former lives outside of Christ without too much pride or too much shame, I would add. Right? I think looking at our past life with too much pride or too much shame keeps us from properly finishing our race. Right? We cannot be held captive by our past. Right? Use your past as a rudder, not an anchor. We cannot be held captive by our past, by all of those failures. We get a new start. Our God has a giant eraser, right? And if we keep looking at those past failures, we're going to be unproductive in our future. And let me just add also this, and I'm not picking on anyone. You know, many times, and I hear it, I've always heard it about everywhere, and I don't think there's any ill will meant by it when people say things like this, but I know we've all probably said it to a degree, or you've heard it said, you know, "Oh, I remember when this auditorium was cram-packed full. Oh, I remember we had so many kids in that youth. Boy, I tell you what. Boy, we used to have so many programs. We were so active. But now," right? That's very, I think it's a very defeating statement. it's almost as if a giving up kind of a statement, at least to me. Right? And if that was the case, my response really is, and? So? What are you going to do about it? Right? And many times I think it's almost said in the sense of, well, I wish somebody would take care of that, or somebody would do something to make that better. Well, that somebody needs to be you. You need to be the one to begin to make that change to fix those things. Right? And begin that good work and be part of that and participate in that. Listen, looking up, looking forward to Jesus, we get a new start. Right? We get a new start as individual followers of Christ. We can get a new start as a congregation, a body of believers. We get a new start. You know, looking up forward to Jesus, the one who says, I will forgive, I will forget. Right? And so if we're constantly busy looking up, we're not going to have time or be concerned about looking back at past failures. We can't be guilty like Israel, forgot about their slavery, thinking it was only good. We can't be guilty like Lot's wife, looking back with an unhealthy longing. We can't be guilty of looking back, if you will, for some almost disciples of Jesus, not counting the cost. If so, we're never going to move forward, right, to that upward call that we have, moving full force without distraction. Colossians chapter 3, let me read verses 1 through 4. If then you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That's where our focus needs to be. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. You know, here's what you need to forget. You need to forget those things which are behind you. You need to forget about your failures. Now, use them as a learning tool, right? But you need to push forward. Forget those things which are behind you, right? God says in Jeremiah 31 and 34, He says, your sins I'll remember no more. We get to start over. If God has forgiven me and forgotten those sins, then I need to leave mine also. Right? Here, let me read just a couple more verses out of Philippians 3, and the lesson is yours. You know, why should we choose to remember what God has forgotten? Right? Listen to it again in verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. And there's your word for maturity. Your translation to read out might even say maturity. In other words, this is the Apostle Paul, right? He was saying, I'm still working on it. I'm still working on maturing in my faith. It's a never-ending job. But I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This evening, if you need to start over, understand that God will let you start over. Listen, we have the God of second chances. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter your past. Right? It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. It does not matter. You can start over. You can have those past sins washed away. Right? Repent of your sins. Be baptized into Christ. Acts 2:38. You do that, you get to start all over. What a wonderful blessing that is. What a great and wonderful thought, right, that we can go from darkness to light because of Jesus. If you haven't done that, that's a call for you this evening. If you've done that, went back into a lifestyle of sin, you can come back home also. And in all of this, let's remember that there's angels in heaven waiting for your response. What's your response going to be? You get to start all over. Wonderful news. If we can help you, let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing.